Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode
324 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And as I've announced, I'm going to be moving to radio on June 21st. I'm going to be on KBLA. There will be an app. There will be a website, KBLA 1580, and you'll be able to listen to me there. I actually got a message from one of my international fans, and I love the fact I have international fans, saying that they might not be able to listen through the app over there the way they get the website. And I will tell you that the podcast will become part of the radio show, or the radio show will become the podcast, either way you want to look at it, once they get the tech set up. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm just switching platforms. Hopefully this new radio station works out. One way or the other, I'll be here. As always, I appreciate every one of you for listening and supporting what I do. I'm getting back out live. I'm headed to Spokane and Tacoma next weekend. I'm headed to Waukegan, which is just outside of Chicago, on June 12th, and 4th of July weekend I'll be in Vegas. So yeah, things are coming back. I'm happy to be back, and I again love you guys for the support. So let's get into the podcast. It is Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to the families of the troops that have made the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives. That is what Memorial Day is about. Yes, it's always, you know, counted as the start of summer and barbecues and all of that. And all of that's great. People are traveling this year for Memorial Day. We're getting vaccinated slowly. Most of us still many anti-vaxxers. And what did I see someone call it? The Morona virus. Morona mean as in moron virus. There was an anti-vaxxer who actually drove through a vaccination site. They had a tent and they were setting up to vaccinate people, and this person said, you know, I guess they hate the vaccine so much they just figured, well, I'm just going to drive through. I'm looking for the article right now. Of course, I can't find it because I wasn't prepared, but you know, there's nothing we can do. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, the ridiculousness. No, the rewarding of ridiculousness in the Republican Party. It seems, here it is. Sorry about that. I'm working off the cuff today. In Tennessee, drivers yelling no vaccine while speeding through a vaccination tent. Okay, she's been arrested and charged. But here's the thing about the vaccination. I said this before. These same people, Republicans, yelling about their freedom when they asked them to wear a mask. Yeah, my freedom, I can't wear blah, 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 right? And then they talked about herd immunity because Trump overheard the words somewhere and figured he'd run with that, even though he had no idea what it was. And now we're in a situation where if enough people get vaccinated, we could have herd immunity. So what do they say? Well, I'm not getting vaccinated because someone's putting a 5G tracker in me. What the fuck? I don't know. I honestly don't know. So anyway, we're opening back up. Listen, it's Memorial Day. If you're traveling, be safe, be careful. If you go to a business or a restaurant and it still has mask regulations, some places do, some places don't. What if you didn't flip out? What if you just said, okay, I'll put on my mask, or if you don't want to, you went somewhere else? How would that work? Oh, and by the way, if you're on a plane, yeah, don't beat up a flight attendant. That's what we have to say now. They're locking them up, which is good. People are getting fined, huge fines for the behavior on airplanes. People are getting arrested for assaulting flight attendants, and it can't happen often enough or fast enough. This is what these people need. It's what we need. Why? Because we don't learn. Said it before, and I say it again. Nothing changes if nothing changes, and we saw it in San Jose. Here we go again. Another disgruntled employee, mass shooting, and I don't say this without sympathy for the families and the loss of life and all, but what the hell is wrong with our society that this is normal? This is absolutely normal. We all know the cycle. Guy goes crazy, goes to work, kills 9 people, then kills himself. We spend the whole day of news coverage, 24-hour cycle, covering it on the news, reporters saying the same things again, talking to this expert, talking to that expert, blah, 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 guessing what went wrong, psychological this, this and that. Then they say, we need more gun laws. And then they say it wasn't the gun that killed him. It was the people that killed him. And then nothing's done. And we wait for the next one. And that's it. That's all we're going to do again. Someone said it years ago, and I still believe it's true. If Sandy Hook, if a psycho walking into an elementary school killing young kids can't change us, nothing's going to change us. We just accept these mass shootings as normal. 9 people dead. And again, to me, the tragedy always is those 9 people, their big sin, they went to work. They were doing their job. They went to work that day. And there's a guy who came out who talked about the shooter who said that this guy was, you know, a loner. And this guy was somebody to look out, to watch out for. He said, it's the kind of job. And I've had these kind of jobs. You know, they're in this light rail facility. But there are certain jobs that lend themselves to talking shit to each other and joking about and picking on people and this and that. And the guy said, if you don't have thick skin, then this probably isn't a good place to work. Well, apparently this mass murderer didn't have thick skin. And he responded by killing everyone. Well, not everyone, but they said he walked through and he said to some people, you know, I'm not going to shoot you. And then other people he shot. I talked about this. I was talking about this on another show. And what are we going to do? Well, ideally, we'd have some federal gun laws. Ideally, we would have some kind of regulation. As someone pointed out, why is it we can track everything and we can't track who's buying a lot of guns and ammunition and cross-reference that to mental health issues and so on? Because, you know, it's not often I will agree with Republicans and conservatives, but I will say this. This is true. We already have the laws. We already have the laws. The problem is enforcing them. The USA Today did an article about this. ATF investigates these things. A Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Yeah, it's in the name. And they found thousands of gun stores and gun dealers that were in violation of the rules on selling guns. People ignoring background checks. People giving guns to people who have restraining orders or felons, selling guns and giving you the gun before the waiting period passes. One store had record of 600 guns and they couldn't find any of those guns, which means they were probably all sold illegally. Places literally selling guns out of pickup trucks behind the store and so on. All of this stuff. And what did people have to say to the ATF investigators? Just some examples. One owner told an investigator that he's busy, he didn't give a shit. A pawn shop owner in Kansas, shaking his finger at the investigator, told her, go do your job and stop messing with me. You know, and what does the ATF do? The minimum. They did a study. All of these places. Now, one rule violation can have you shut down. None of these places were shut down. These places were given warnings and small fines for illegally selling guns. So why wouldn't they? So yeah, we do have the laws. We don't enforce the laws. And this guy who shot up the rail facility, he may have been a legal gun owner. I don't know. Now, another person pointed out, they made the talking point, well, it's not a gun issue, it's a mental health issue. Yeah, but when you fight background checks, when you fight common sense background checks, then you can't find if someone has mental health problems, can you? And since we don't have federal laws, look, I live in California. You can go to Nevada or Arizona and just buy it there. If you live in the Northeast, you can go to the South. When I was growing up in New York, people drove down all the time. The Carolinas, Georgia, whatever, bought the guns, brought them back to New York. Chicago, they go to Indiana. They buy the guns, they bring them back to Chicago. So until we somehow come up with a federal law to stop this, and I'm not talking about banning guns, I'm talking about common sense. Until we get to the level where common sense is that, we're just going to keep having these. God bless this family, the families of the people who were killed, and I hope we could do something. The hope of bipartisanship, and I will talk about this because it came up with the January 6th insurrection investigation, the hope of any bipartisanship, the hope of any Republican cooperation, okay, because it's them. The hope of any Republican cooperation on simple common sense, working together, trying to make the country better, is gone. And thankfully, the Democrats are starting to get mad, and I hope they step up. Before I get into that, another thing that happened this past week, it's been a year since George Floyd was killed. And what has happened? Police departments haven't changed. Some people have changed, but police departments certainly haven't changed. Let me read because this is interesting. So they looked at an independent task force. What was the five priorities for police reform? Remember, after George Floyd was killed, besides prosecution of Chauvin, which did happen and so on, but they were talking about reforming the police, and this is, the worst slogan ever, defund the police, because people hear that and they're like, you're going to take away the police. No, defund the police means take money out of these huge police budgets, put it into, maybe hiring social workers, after school programs, get people off the streets, just something, demilitarizing police departments, etc. That's what defund the police is about, but it's a poor name. It should reimagine the police would have been better. I don't know. I'm not a marketing guy, but I know bad marketing. All right. And that's bad. So anyway, these are the priorities for police reform: national training standards, a federal decertification registry. Let's get rid of bad cops for good. There's a cop in Florida. He's 7 times he's been fired every time he gets his job back, or they just go to a different police department, okay? A duty to intervene and mandatory reporting policies. Again, if they're not all bad cops, the good cops have a duty, should have a duty, to intervene with the bad cops. When you see a cop punching somebody who's handcuffed, with his knee in the neck of a suspect on the ground, whatever, stop him. Stop him. I don't know why you have to be told to do that, but stop him. Trauma-informed policing. This is where police departments, it's a tough job, and they need help, and they need people. So if somebody's obviously on drugs or having a mental episode or something, there should be somebody who knows how to talk to that person or deal with that person, rather than expecting a street cop to know how to deal with them. I'll give it to the cops on that. So they should give the cops some training, but they need help on that. And finally, increased data collection and transparency. I was surprised to find out there are 18,000, if this number I was given is correct, 18,000 police departments in the United States. And I can believe that. I mean, here in LA, we have the Highway Patrol, you have the Sheriff's Department, you have the LAPD, you have individual police departments like Santa Monica has theirs, police, Beverly Hills has theirs, Burbank has theirs, etc. Compton, there's all these different police, and there's no national registry of police to say how many people they've killed, how many people have been shot, etc., etc. And there's a national registry of criminals. Why not police? Why shouldn't we should know? So this is these are the things that they want and that we want, the people have wanted, that thousands and thousands of people in the streets want all last summer, and we have none of it. Now, some cities have defunded the police, places like Austin, Seattle, New York, L.A., San Francisco, Baltimore, Portland, Philly, a few cities, taking money away from the police, put the money into other programs. The problem is the states. So now you have states like Alabama, Missouri, North Carolina, Texas, and of course, Florida, red states that will have threatening that if a city defunds the police, the state will cut the city's budget. So if you're like Austin, for example, a dot of blue ink in a red sea, the state of Texas be like, Austin, if you cut back police money, we're going to cut back your entire city budget, which they can't afford. And Florida, which is, of course, when it comes to crazy, Mississippi sits around saying, wow, thank God for Florida. Florida's passing a bill that says if a city defunds the police, that police department can go to the governor's office, get their funding back with no appeal. So, you know, the relation between states and cities isn't the same as the relationship between federal governments and the states. These cities have no recourse if the state decides to cut their budget or threatens to cut their budget as a way of blackmailing them out of defund the police. So at the bottom line, we still have the same policing through the first 4 months of 2021. This is the lead line in this article. There's less than a week's worth of days in which police did not kill anyone. And we've seen it, you know, just recently I saw one as a homeless guy in San Diego having a mental episode, eight cops tackling, punching, holding this guy down. And the person doing the video lived in the neighborhood and said they know who this guy is. And he's not a violent guy. He's a homeless guy, walks the neighborhood. People know he had done something. Somebody called the cops. Next thing you know, eight cops beating the hell out of the guy. There's no need for that. There's no need for that. There's no need for cops beating up kids. If you're a grown cop, if you're an adult, especially if you're an adult male, no disrespect to women, but an adult male is stronger. You're 6 feet, 200 pounds, and you can't stop a 12, 13-year-old, 15-year-old kid, even a 15-year-old girl sometimes without deadly force. Are you kidding me? And they, of course, you never find that deadly force being used on white people the way it is on people of color. But even so, there's another example of where the money can be spent. More non-lethal force rather than militarizing police. How about we get more tasers that are big and giant and pink so they don't mix it up with a gun? Or giant pink tasers would help. Yeah, giant pink tasers. Maybe more beanbag guns. Something. Maybe not kill first, ask questions later. That could be a national training standard. Something simple like, hey, don't kill them. Just take them down. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is this investigation into the insurrection on January 6th. The Republicans have stopped it again. They've used the filibuster and stopped it, and the Democrats are going to have to get rid of filibuster. May regret it later when administrations switch, but you're going to have to do something. And thank God they're finally getting mad. Senator John Tester said, quote, we got to get to the bottom of this shit. All right? Quote, continuing to quote, Jesus. It's a nonpartisan investigation of what happened. And if it's because they're afraid of Trump, then they need to get out of office. It's bullshit. You make tough decisions in this office or you shouldn't be here. Thank God that somebody's finally getting mad on the Democratic side. This is ridiculous. There were a few Republicans that voted for it, but of course McConnell led the charge against it, against an investigation into an insurrection. This, again, party before country. One more time, the Republicans put party before country. Mitch Romney, he wants the investigation done. And there are a few. There were about I think 10, I want to say 8 or 10 Republicans who did vote to do it have the investigation. And what we're talking about is something like the 9/11 Commission. Okay, so it's not, you know how these things go. They take forever. 6 Republicans voted in favor of the commission, and all the rest voted against it. And, of course, some senators took the easy way out and just missed the vote. So, Republicans have said that a 9/11 style commission would be a political mess for the GOP and could jeopardize Senate seats next year. Yeah, of course it could, because it would show how you supported the insurrection. Wouldn't want the American people to know about that. Nothing changes if nothing changes. This podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp.com. And you know, I've talked to you about this, and I'm a big supporter of this. BetterHelp.com is talking about helping you with mental health issues, helping us with mental health issues, because it's us. There's a lot of people out here. What interferes with your happiness? How many times has your head gotten in the way? How many times have you said, I can't do it, and therefore didn't try? Self-esteem issues, just anger, depression, anxiety, relationships. I mean, there are so many things that affect our ability to function, our mental health. This is what BetterHelp.com is about. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. No, these are professional counselors working with you securely online. You can message them. You get responses. You could schedule weekly video or phone sessions. This is a great thing. Listen, anything you share is confidential, okay? It's convenient. They're professionals. It's affordable. It's affordable. And with that, I'm going to tell you something. As a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Alonzo. Okay? Want to talk about affordable? 10% off your first month. BetterHelp, HELP.com/Alonzo. Do it for yourself. Take care of your mental health. Okay? A lot of us are under stress. Things are changing. Some are going back to work. Some aren't, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, we're all in this together, and everyone has anyone can have some rough times, and mental health issues are real, so let's deal with them. BetterHelp.com. Thank you. Let's talk about sports, because I'm a sports fan. And also because sports, in a lot of ways, sports does reflect our society, okay? And right now, there are some things going on the court that are unacceptable, completely unacceptable. Racism moving into the NBA. I shouldn't say moving into, but just listen, they're letting fans back into NBA arenas. So what do we have? We have some asshat in Philly dumps popcorn on Russell Westbrook. Ja Morant playing against Utah Jazz in the playoffs. His family's there. And there's some back and forth and some trash talk with the fans. And that's okay. That happens. What does a Jazz fan tell T. Morant, Ja's father? I'll put a nickel in your back and watch you dance, boy. Yeah, that's what we're getting. Now, this guy was removed. He's banned for life. What surprised me, Dwayne Wade is a part owner in the Utah Jazz. And obviously, Dwayne Wade, and if you don't know, Dwayne Wade, not only being one of the greatest guards ever to play basketball, is black. And they're speaking out, they're embarrassed. Even the governor of Utah spoke out, which is good. At least they're saying the right things. I hope they feel that way. Then you get others who are absolutely clueless. Because Kyrie Irving talked about playing in Boston and said he hopes he doesn't hear any racist comments or any of that bullshit. And we know Boston, famously, baseball fans calling black outfielders nigger and stuff like that. Danny Ainge played for the Boston Celtics his entire career. General manager of the Boston Celtics says, you know, I never heard anything like that. Never heard any of that. Yeah, sure you did, Danny. Sure you did. So It ruins it. Come on. I mean, Jackie Robinson was so long ago. When did they let go? When did they let go? Imagine just playing the game. Imagine just playing the game. And you win or you lose and you talk trash. You talk smack. I do. Let me tell you, I'm a Clipper fan. I talk smack about the Clippers and I love them. But leave your racism at home or don't go. If you hate black people, why would you go to an NBA game, a league dominated by black people? Honestly, why go? I guess just so you can say stupid shit to people in the fans. And thankfully, they are getting caught and they are being removed. But, you know, we years ago, it famously, there was a fight in the stands with some of the Detroit Pistons and it was wrong. But also, these are men. These are men and you're challenging them and you're saying things to them that would get you punched in the mouth in the street. And in a moment, they might be kind of hot and we don't want to see it, but stay the fuck home. Just I don't know what you do. Just go play racism. And even, let me tell you, hockey, there's issues in hockey with a native in Canada, you know, a native who, which he's getting racist stuff. The black hockey players get it all the time. They talk about it all the time. Well, get used to it because as quoting that movie 42, excellent movie about Jackie Robinson, they're coming. They're coming and they're good and they're young and they're hungry. It doesn't matter what sport, people of color are coming for you. Not coming for you, coming for championships, coming for greatness. On that topic, I want to talk a little about women in sports. The disrespect that women athletes are getting, it is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Okay, now some of the I've been guilty of being, and I'm wrong, and I will tell you where I'm wrong. I was wrong about soccer, and I was educated, and my mind has changed, and I'm glad I learned. But let me start. Well, I'll tell you what that's about. The U.S. women's soccer team is paid less than the men. And I always thought, well, you know, the men generate more revenue, so they get paid more. We know the women are a better team. The U.S. women's soccer team is the best women's soccer team in the world. They're the team everyone's shooting for. They won the World Cup, et cetera, et cetera. The men didn't even qualify for the World Cup. But I was like, but the men draw more, they make more. Well, guess what, people? I was wrong. I am an absolute idiot. And I am glad that I have been educated. Not only do the women make more, the women generate a lot more, okay? From 2016 to 2018, the women generated 900,000 more revenue than the men's games. Then, after winning the World Cup in 2015, the women generated $1.9 million more than the men. And Nike, and who knows sports better than marketing and money better than Nike, says that the U.S. women's soccer jersey is the best-selling soccer jersey they have. So, ladies, women, soccer players should get paid, okay? I was wrong. Not only are these women great, they should get paid. And I would say, maybe you're going to have to not play. Maybe that's what it's going to take to get that respect. Maybe you're going to have to not play. I don't know, but that might be what it takes, but you better get paid. Simone Biles, I love this woman. You know, this is how great a gymnast Simone Biles is. You know who she is. And when you're in a sport that's non-mainstream like gymnastics or track or, you know, even golf, which is somewhat mainstream, but maybe not as mainstream as football, baseball, basketball, etc. And people know your name outside of that sport. That's amazing. Simone Biles is quite simply the GOAT in gymnastics. Simone Biles is so good that they are treating her unfairly just to make it appear competitive. I'm sorry to laugh, but it is that ridiculous, okay? There hasn't been anything like this since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And this is back when he was Lew Alcindor. I don't know if you're aware of this. When he went to college, he was leaving high school in New York and coming to UCLA. In that summer, the NCAA banned the dunk. They banned the dunk because Lew Alcindor was coming. So what did he do? He developed the sky hook, the greatest, most unblockable shot ever. Greatness is great. You can't stop greatness. Simone Biles did a Yurchenko double pike. Okay. What is a Yurchenko double pike? It's a vault. You got to see it on video. Pike is that kind of V-shaped position they put their bodies in. So she runs to the vault. She leaps over the vault. She does a double flip in this pike position. Incredible. How incredible? How incredible? Not only has it never been done in competition, it's never even been tried. No one's ever even attempted to do this, and she nailed it. What's her reward? They give her a 6.6. Why? Because you've heard a degree of difficulty. If you haven't, that's something that involved in certain sports where they have judges. They factor in how difficult is the routine or the move or whatever you did, and that affects the score. Well, they're not factoring in the fact she's done something that's never been done, that no one in history of gymnastics has ever been able to do. They're not counting that as part of her score. So they just gave her a 6.6 like she did an ordinary vault. Are you kidding me? That is the most ridiculous. And why? Why? Because she's so good. She's so incredible that if they gave her a fair score, it would wipe out the competition. Like they wouldn't even come close. It would be like if back when Kareem was in college, when he was 7 foot plus and super athletic and incredibly talented, it would be as if he stood under the basket just dunking every time because they didn't have anyone to play against him. No one played against him until he went pro. Then he had to go against Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. Until then, it was like, meh, ain't much we could do but watch. She's that great. Here's an idea, gymnastics. Celebrate her greatness. Celebrate the fact that we are living in a time of the greatest gymnasts of all time, and let us know that the only reason that this Yurchenko double pike is being publicized is because they scored it so badly. What if it were being publicized because you celebrated the greatness of what she's done? And this is just one thing, and don't worry, the Olympics is coming this summer. Oh, badass. The UCLA women's gymnastics team, another group, they're doing gymnastics to like hip hop and the Janet Jackson and they're just working dance and modern culture into their routines, and it's phenomenal. They're going viral on YouTube, and the judges are like, no, you're not doing it the way some old Russian judge said you should have done it back in the 1960s or 70s or whatever. Yeah, guess what? They're young, they're talented, and they're here. So get used to it and get over the fact that women of color are now competing in gymnastics because they're owning it. Simone Biles, are you kidding? Look at the video, what she did. Celebrate what she did as having never been done before. And here's another thing that I love about women athletes, and I will say I see this more with the women athletes and the male athletes. They embrace being role models. They embrace being models for the next generation of athletes. Gabby Douglas led to Simone Biles, okay? And the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, have led to Naomi Osaka, and they embrace it. And Naomi Osaka was the highest paid female athlete in the world last year. The woman made $55 million. 55 million, 5 million from tennis, 50 million from endorsements. She's at the top of the list. Serena's, I think, was like number 14 on the list. Great. You know something? Tennis respects the women who play tennis. Great women tennis players have always been respected, going back to Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King and so forth. We know these names, so I think it's fantastic. And there was definite pushback against women of color. Probably Venus Williams probably had it the most. Then Serena got it, but Serena was so dominant that they were like, eh, not much we can do. And there was all the insults and this and that. I'm not going to respect them by repeating them. And now you have Naomi Osaka. And Naomi Osaka is embracing her position and she's speaking out on social issues and this and that. And I think it's fantastic. And the young girls are looking up to these women and learning from them. We had the Atlanta Dream last year in the WNBA. Okay, stood up to Kelly Loeffler, their racist owner, who is out of Congress now and out of a team. And good for them. Good for them. And so let's start celebrating these women. How bad is it? How bad is it? Excuse me. Amina Solomon, a Muslim woman, has been hired as a scout for the Philadelphia Eagles. And being jerk-offs, assholes, and whatever, racist and idiots, fans right away started yelling about, oh, here we go. Here's a great one. No wonder why we suck now. Hell, maybe I can convert religions and the Eagles will hire me. Another post. This America is completely insane. What the fuck? Yeah, she can't understand football because she's a woman and a Muslim. Only, here's a problem. Not only does she understand football better than any of these idiots, she is just eminently qualified for this position, okay? She's been working in personnel and recruiting roles since college. Some of the jobs that she's had, some of the things she's done, she was in charge of ensuring player eligibility at Temple University, tracking player transactions for the NFL. She has been a player personnel coordinator with the Eagles, which, you know, Ryan Kesich had that job and became a scout for the 49ers. There wasn't any craziness when he became a scout. Okay, on and on. And these are the people who, you know, when they were talking about affirmative actions, remember, these are the same people that can flip in a moment. So these are people that race should not play a part. You should, when they, because, you know, in sports, particularly in football, they've had a thing where you got to start putting people of color in the front office. And it should be hired based on merit. Forget about their color or culture or any of that. So a Muslim woman is hired based on merit. She's worked in football her entire career. She's been in charge of player personnel. She's tracked players. This has been her job to watch football players as a professional. She gets a job as a scout, and she shouldn't have the job because she's a woman and a Muslim. Fuck off. Just thank you, Philadelphia Eagles, for ignoring these idiots and giving this woman this job, and she'll do fine. She'll do fine. Speaking of idiots, sorry this podcast is so long. I know I got to wrap this up. The Republican celebration of idiocy has to stop. Okay, and what I'm talking about is Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're getting celebrated. I'm talking about them now, and I hate that I'm talking about them. They love to say something stupid and get the publicity, even though it's stupid. So Lauren Boebert, in her hatred of trans, because this is part of their platform to hate trans people. Now, many trans people now are putting, or a lot of people, they're putting their pronoun on their introduction. So they have like a Zoom or something, and then my pronoun is he, or in their social media or whatever. They put down it. Now, remember, these Republicans are the same ones who say, I don't know what to call you. I don't know what to call you. Are you a man, a woman? This? So they're telling them to say, hey, my pronoun is he or him. My pronoun is she, whatever. So, of course, Boebert says, my pronoun is patriot. Yes, stupid, except patriot is not a pronoun. It's a noun. So, of course, Twitter, which they don't understand, jumps all over her. Thank God for Twitter. And one person just put down, this is great, we need to invest more in education. And then they put the definition of patriot. A person who vigorously supports their country is prepared to defend it against enemies or detractors. You idiot, are a detractor. Okay, and then she posted about, what's your favorite Bible verse? And they hit her with a bunch of stuff from Leviticus about false idols. You can't have a gold statue of Donald Trump at your national convention and then talk about religion, because there's this thing in the Bible about not having golden idols. And, you know, Marjorie's thing now is following AOC around Congress, yelling at her to the point where they're like, are they going to have to get a restraining order to keep her literally walking the halls of Congress, yelling at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? And, you know, this is the thing. If this was a street fight, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and this is why they can't rattle this woman. This woman's a Puerto Rican girl from the Bronx. This woman grew up. She knows what's what. All right. I don't know how hard she is, but I'll tell you this. She's put up with enough bullshit that Marjorie Taylor Greene walking behind her yelling is not going to do it. But right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Getz are on tour, raising a ton of money, doing the same thing that Trump used to do. Getz just once again called out the Second Amendment to deal with the Silicon Valley. You know, they claim that they're being censored by Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, well, we've got a Second Amendment to deal with it, which is that listen, they talk tough, they got no heart, but they're trying to say, shoot these people. And this is when crazies do it, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm rambling now, but why is it these idiots get the press, you know? And I'm going to wrap it up. You know, I love Joe Biden. I don't know if I love Joe Biden. I like Joe Biden because I don't hear much from Joe Biden. And when I hear from him, I kind of like what he says. So Joe Biden likes ice cream. And when he's on tour, when he's out doing public appearances, when he's traveling around the country, he goes to famous ice cream shops in various cities. And he's just going for ice cream, you know, kind of like Trump used to go to play golf, except when Joe Biden does it, it doesn't cost us millions of dollars, which goes into the pocket of the hotel that he owns. Just saying. But anyway, Joe Biden was having some ice cream in Cleveland. They went after him about the January 6th commission. What do you think? Now, mind you, when he makes these ice cream stops, it's that. It's ice cream. It's lightweight. He's chatting. He's having fun. So they wanted the press. They wanted to press him about the Republicans' position on January 6th commission. What Joe Biden said, quote, I can't imagine anyone voting against establishing a commission on the greatest assault since the Civil War on the Capitol. But the end quote was what the beauty of it is. But at any rate, I came for ice cream. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for giving us a meme to handle idiots. Hey, at any rate, I came for ice cream. So people, I thank you for supporting my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I hope you will listen to me, KBLA 1580. The website is up. The app is coming. You can find it on Facebook. And that's where I'm headed next month. But right now, I came for ice cream. Love you, people. Thank you.